who swore fealty to Cleo. She was the daughter of a troll who had opposed Sarrow and was killed by him. Cleo's sisters were not related to her. Much like the Beastkins would form a pack, Banshees formed a sisterhood. She was sure she would eventually need to explain that to Ash. He was still unconscious, but Lily believed he would make a full recovery and would be stronger. She had shared her plans for Ash with the Dryad, and Lily was already setting things into motion in District 114. The fact Ash had won the loyalty of many of the Lizardkin and Beastkin they had rescued only aided her plans for him.
"Eldest sister, you called for us?"
The Banshee broke Cleo from her thoughts, and a small group of the most powerful in her sisterhood stood before her. They would accompany her to the council, while their weaker sisters stayed behind and monitored District 71.
"Yes, it's about time we announced to the council that I have returned."
District 1 was the heart of Devas. It was also the most developed and would appear the same as a human city. Buildings in various styles lined the streets, many transported by magic to District 1 from other districts. This was where deals were made by the Council and the world outside of Devas. The human governments may want to keep paranormals segregated, but they craved what magic could do for them. Pharmaceutical companies bought magic plants or potions that could cure incurable diseases, hold off aging, or regrow limbs. Magic runes had hundreds of uses and combined with technology readily, allowing companies to make better products cheaper. There were also times when monsters or hostile paranormals slipped through a rift, and the governments reluctantly called upon the council for aid. Some magic was difficult for them to deal with by technology alone. All of this fueled Devas's economy. Cleo and her sisters made their way towards a large building in the Gothic Deco style. Before the rifts, it had been a historic ballet and opera house. Now it was the seat of power for those who ruled Devas to argue, make deals, and thinly veiled threats. The guards quickly opened the door for her and welcomed her back from seclusion.
"Queen Blackthorn, it's good to see you out of seclusion," a young woman said with a bow.
Selena wore a formal dress in the style that royalty like her would have worn back on Voss. The style was similar to what was the high-class style during the Victorian era. Her golden hair was styled in a braid that no doubt took maids hours to assemble. The single horn on her forehead that marked her race as a unicorn sparkled when it caught the light, perhaps from some wax or oil she used on it. She was a beautiful and proper young woman, but she was also Destry's daughter. Cleo examined the girl's expression and manners. She saw no hostility in her, which didn't surprise her. Destry was a two-faced man, and she was sure he hid his uglier side from his sheltered daughter. Instead, she saw a young girl who was genuine in her words.
"Lady Selena, where is your father? I hear he's been managing council affairs for me."
Selena gestured towards the main floor of the council.
"He is addressing the council today. His friend, Sarrow, was murdered the other night, and he's trying to convince the council to abandon its policy of leaving internal issues to vassals and hunt down his killer."
Cleo smiled to herself. Destry must be worried if he was going to such lengths. She walked through the doors onto the main floor. This was once the stage that the operas would be performed on. Now, the old seating had been replaced with rows of small desks. Each counselor laid claim to one of these desks. The stage had changed little, except for a podium and microphone. Currently, a muscular older man with a long white beard and silver crown stood before it. Destry's grandfather-like appearance had a darkness that clung to him. Cleo did not know if it was from him being a Kelpie and, as such, having a connection to death magic, or because the man was just an evil bastard.
"This is why the council must act in this case. The vassal system..."
Destry froze as he laid his eyes on her. The vassal system is perfectly fine, Destry. I was told you used my name to call for the floor. Something about investigating the death of Sero? Cleo said with a smile. She made her way to her desk, knocking some personal items Destry had placed on it into the small bin next to it, before taking a seat. Destry stared at Cleo as if he were seeing a ghost. His hands gripped the podium, and his jaw tightened. He was probably waiting for her to launch an attack on him, tear him limb from limb upon the stage in front of the council. Unfortunately, that would go against the purpose of the council, despite how much she wished she could. Vassals handled internal issues, and the council handled external issues. There is no mystery to his death. While in seclusion, I learned that Sero was engaged in kidnapping, murder, and organ harvesting to make magical reagents. As such, I instructed one of my vassals to take care of Sero's little operation. He was appalled by what he found there and, in a fit of anger, executed Sero and all his men. I have placed a new vassal to be leader over District 71, who is loyal to me and my values. My sisters have documentation of the horrible acts committed by Sero, if the council wishes to confirm my justifications for the execution. Also, Destry, I will no longer need you to act in my stead for the council, since I am back from my seclusion. Murmurs went up through the council as they discussed what she had just revealed. Some would no doubt consider her actions heavy-handed and just add to her nickname of Nightmare Queen. Many would be wondering about her new vassal, who slaughtered the warriors of an entire troll clan in a fit of rage. A few that had profited from Destry and Sarrow's slavery were no doubt shitting themselves, and would do their best to distance any relation between them and Destry. Destry couldn't get out of the main room fast enough. He started moving towards the door as soon as Cleo mentioned she had Sero killed. She could smell the sweet scent in the air, as could her sisters, and no doubt any other predator in the council. The sweet scent of fear wafting off of Destry.
Chapter 15. Phelan screamed as the trolls hacked her body apart, taking the pieces and dropping them into the cooler beside the table she was tied down to. Ash desperately tried to get to her, but Sero stood before him with one of those magic shields made from his bone rune trinkets. He had already failed to save the girl with blue scales from this fate.
No!
Ash screamed as Sero laughed. Phelan fell silent, her eyes glazing over and going distant. The trolls kept cutting her body up and filling the coolers. They threw the remains of Phelan into a dumpster before tying down Lily to the same table. The knives fell upon the dryad as she screamed. Ash threw everything he had against Sero's shield, trying to break it. Then a cool sensation spread over his head. Ash woke up gasping for air, his heart racing and sweat clinging to his body. The room was dark, but a hand was placing a cool rag against his forehead. Serpent eyes caught the little light in the room, and he could tell they belonged to the person who was holding the cool rag.
You were having a nightmare.
The trolls!
Ash tried to sit up, only for a gentle hand to rest against his chest and stop him.
The trolls are dead. You are safe. We are safe.
Ash caught his breath as he realized it was only a dream. The girl with the serpent eyes handed a glass of water to him. He didn't realize how thirsty he was until he saw it. Greedily, he finished the glass.
Is Phelan all right?
Ash asked, recalling his nightmare.
Yes, she is helping her sister settle back into her life, as otherwise she would be here.
Ash finally relaxed, glad that Phelan was safe and they got her sister out. Then he remembered the ice salamander who the trolls were about to butcher.
There was a girl there. She had blue hair and patches of blue scales on her skin. Did she make it out all right?
My name is Naomi, and I did make it out. Thank you for saving me.
The way Naomi's eyes moved in the low light, Ash was sure she was bowing to him. He was about to protest her doing something like that, but then his stomach started to growl, and he realized he was starving. Naomi quickly got up and wandered through the darkness. He was blind for a moment when the fridge lit up the room, and from what little the light caught, he realized he was in the back room of Lily's shop. He got his first good look at Naomi as she rummaged through it. Light blue hair that was wild and matched the patches of scales that dotted her arms and lined her neck to face. Her long, thin reptilian tail was covered in them and trailed behind her. She was wearing what looked like some of Phelan's clothing, though she was taller and bustier than his girlfriend. Toned abs peeked from under the shirt that struggled to cover her bust. Ash quickly looked away, feeling guilty for checking her out. Soon, he heard Naomi making her way back to him.
I am sorry. I do not know human technology. Lily showed me the cold container that held food, so most are strange to me.
Naomi lifted a package of bologna.
Is this meat?
That is debatable, Ash said with a smile. He talked Naomi through making two bologna sandwiches, which took much longer than he expected. The kitchen might as well have been an alien world to Naomi. Unfortunately, he was dependent on her to make their food, since Lily went overboard with the bandages. He would be lucky to even be able to feed himself with how she bandaged his arms. Naomi devoured her sandwich and quickly made herself two more, much to Ash's amusement.
So, why are you up so late? He asked her.
I had a nightmare as well, so came here to sleep on the floor by your bed. I have been sneaking in the past 2 days to sleep near you.
Ash raised his eyebrow at Naomi. Why are you sneaking in to sleep near me? Wait, 2 days? Is that how long I've been out?
Yes. Phelan and Lily will be happy you're awake. Phelan has stayed by your side and only leaves to take our sister home for the night.
Naomi blushed, and her eyes avoided his.
I sleep near you because your scent keeps the nightmares from coming.
Ash's heart ached as he thought about what Naomi had gone through. He had seen the remains of her family in the dumpster the trolls had in the plant. The trauma she must have gone through at their hands. If being by him gave her some small comfort, he wouldn't rob her of that. The floor is cold. I know where Lily has another cot stashed. We can get you set up beside me. 20 minutes later, Naomi was curled up on a cot adjacent to him. She had fallen asleep almost as soon as her head hit the pillow. He couldn't imagine she was getting any decent sleep the past 2 days on the floor. His own eyes felt heavy as he watched her sleeping in the low light and soon was drifting off himself. Apparently, adjacent was not close enough for Naomi. Ash woke up to find her sleeping on top of him. He tried to wiggle himself free from under, but Naomi just snuggled in closer in her sleep. To make matters worse, her tail had found his morning wood and wrapped itself around the tent he had pitched in his flannel pants. He was considering his options when Lily walked into the room and saw him, a smile spreading across her face as she looked the two of them up and down.
Phelan, Ash is up!
Lily shouted before grinning at him.
In more ways than one?
Phelan rushed in and smiled as she saw Ash looking at her. The smile mellowed as she noticed Naomi clinging tightly to him in her sleep, only to drop off once she noticed the tail coiled around the shaft of his cock, with only the fabric of his pants separating them. She came to a stop before the cot and crossed her arms. Before Ash's mind could think of anything to say, Phelan's foot shot out and hit Naomi in the ass.
Ouch!
Naomi said as she woke up. She started rubbing the spot where the kick had landed while pouting at Phelan. Her tail, however, wrapped itself further around Ash's erection, squeezing tightly. Despite himself, he felt his cock throb, and he saw that Phelan had noticed it.
Naomi, go with Lily. I would like a word with Ash, alone.
Come on, Scales, let's go make some deliveries. Just because Ash is laid up doesn't mean my shop isn't getting requests.
Lily said as she gave Ash a wink. Naomi reluctantly got out of the cot and followed Lily, her tail only letting go when she was no longer close enough to coil it around his cock. When both of them exited the shop and the door had closed, Phelan pulled a chair up next to the cot and took a seat. Her hand slipped into his pants and started pumping his member as she gave him a mischievous smile.
Phelan, I promise I did.
Phelan leaned in and kissed him. She smiled and shook her head as she stroked him up and down.
We have caught her every morning snuggled up to you in that cot. I've been jealous of that. Unfortunately, Luna has not felt safe to be by herself, so I've been staying nights with her.
Phelan bit her lower lip as her hand pulled him free of his pants. Her eyes fixated on his shaft as her hand gently ran up and down it, teasing his head.
My little sister is back home safe and sound because of you, Ash, and I want to show you my appreciation. Though what I had hoped to do might still be too much for you, so here is a little taste of my appreciation until you recover,
Phelan said hotly. She leaned down and ran her tongue along his shaft, from head to base, then kissed along the base of his cock before repeating what she had done in reverse. Once back to the head, she wrapped her lips around it. Her head started to move up and down. Her hand caressed his balls as she worked to take his full girth in her mouth, sucking on it greedily. She went at the task with enthusiasm, experimenting with her tongue and lips and watching his reaction to the sensation they created on his erect member. She stopped only for a moment to unzip her pants and pull them partly down. Then she resumed giving him a blowjob as she worked the fingers of her free hand between her legs. The air took the scent of sex as she picked up pace and her masturbation grew more aggressive. She let out moans that vibrated against the half of his cock that she could fit down her throat.
Phelan, I'm about to finish,
Ash warned. Phelan locked her eyes on his as she picked up pace. Her tongue rubbed against his head. When he shot his load, she sucked it down eagerly, all while keeping her heated gaze on him. She swallowed, and he noticed her body shuddering. She had finished herself off at the same time he came. After setting their clothes right, the two of them spent their post-coitus bliss cuddled together on the cot. However, unlike Naomi, Phelan's tail didn't coil itself around any of his appendages. Instead, her furry tail repeatedly bopped against his midsection as she cuddled closer to him, a reminder of his woman's happiness. If he ever wanted Phelan's true feelings on something, he would just need to look at her tail.
Luna is all right during the daytime, and it's almost like she never left. Nighttime, though, she becomes afraid of her own shadow and has bad nightmares. She said that was when the trolls would normally pick someone to harvest if they showed any magical potential.
Ash felt Phelan's nails sink into his skin slightly at the thought of what her sister had gone through. She did worse during sex, and his body was tougher than it had been from all the training he had done. Still, he was surprised at how little he felt it. Maybe Lily had him stuffed full of painkillers, or his gamble could have changed his body some from all the magic he pumped into it.
I'm glad you killed that bastard.
Phelan growled. Ash thought about his nightmares. Were they caused by what he saw at the plant? Or were they the result of him killing all those people? He could remember brief glimpses from his blind rage, and he knew it was a massacre. He had crossed a line now, and there was no going back. He worried about the effect of it on his psyche. He focused on the good he had done by tainting his soul. "What happened to the people we freed?" he asked.
"A few left for their old districts. Those who were originally from District 114 returned to their families. Most, though, are right outside of the door to the shop. Lily owns the whole street and opened up all the buildings to any that would take up residence there. A lizardkin town has sprung up overnight."
Ash ran his fingers through Phelan's hair. He hoped the lizardkin would settle well into District 114. Maybe he could check with Jack and see if there was anything he could do to help them.
"Have you heard anything from Cleo?"
"Yes, she's back as a councilwoman, which she says weakens and isolates Destry. She also set up a new leader for District 71, the daughter of a troll who opposed Saro and was killed by him. She swore her loyalty to Cleo and vowed never to allow the horrors that Saro committed to exist again in District 71. Cleo has plans for our district and is working with Lily on that, but I've been sworn to secrecy by Lily, so I can't tell you anything more,"
Phelan said as she buried her face into his chest.
"We should probably get up before Lily comes back," Ash said.
"Do we have to?"
Phelan mumbled with her face buried in his chest.
"Yes. I just remembered we didn't clean up that chair you were sitting in earlier."
Phelan's head shot up from his chest. Her eyes widened as she stared at said chair and the rather large wet spot she had left in it. Phelan's face reddened with embarrassment.
"You know where Lily keeps the cleaning supplies?"
Phelan scrubbed the chair as if her life depended on it, which, with how erratic Lily was, it just might. Ash had intended to help her, but those plans fell apart the moment he caught his reflection in the bathroom mirror. His finger traced the jagged scar that ran from his cheek down his neck. It branched out and reminded him of lightning. He was tempted to take off his shirt and see just how far it went along his body, but he was covered in bandages.
"Scars gained in battle are something to be proud of among beastkins,"
Phelan said when she caught him looking in the mirror. Ash grimaced at the reflection.
"Even when it disfigures half my face?"
Phelan rolled her eyes as she left the chair and made her way towards him. She pressed herself against him and ran a finger gently along the scar.
"It's far from disfiguring your face. Honestly, it gives you a sense of danger that excites me, especially as I know how you got it."
Phelan grabbed him by the chin and pulled him into a kiss.
"Why does my shop smell like sex?"
Lily glared at Phelan as Naomi slipped over to stand beside Ash. Neither he nor Phelan had heard them return to the shop. Ash coughed, pulling Lily's attention away from Phelan before he could hear vines moving around the shop.
"Phelan said you've been getting those we rescued from District 71 settled on your street. Thank you for that, Lily."
"Yep, we'll have to show it to you once you're healed enough. Since you're awake now, that means it's time for a checkup,"
Lily said, breaking her glare at Phelan. Chapter 16. While Lily was normally a goofball of chaos, she did know her stuff. She was the only healthcare option in District 114, if you considered an alchemist to be healthcare, which many from Voss did. Still, she was Lily. And Ash was not surprised when she started to open up boxes that contained medical equipment, both mundane and magical, that more than a few had candy stashed in them. After carefully selecting what sucker she wanted from the candy stash, she started his checkup. She mumbled to herself as she checked his blood pressure, listened to his heart, and ran a large crystal over his body that glowed. When she passed the crystal over the lightning-shaped scar on the side of his face, it glowed almost blindingly bright. Lily focused on the scar after that, examining it closely. It ran from the left side of his face down his neck and to his chest, not something he was thrilled to learn.
"I want you to use your magic,"
Lily stated as she put away her equipment. Ash held up his hand and pulled on his magic. Lightning made arcs that jumped between his fingers in a bright display. Ash stared dumbfounded at it. The magic came to him quicker than before, and was much stronger. He was only trying for a small jolt between two or three fingers. This was enough flowing through his hand to rival his lightning claw spell. He heard a gasp and looked up to see Phelan and Naomi staring at him with wide eyes. Lily just wore a smug smile on her face.
"It's glowing blue," Naomi whispered.
"What's glowing blue?" Ash asked, slightly worried as he looked down.
"Not that, your scar. It's glowing blue,"
Phelan answered with a small chuckle before she looked at Lily.
"What does that mean, though?"
"It means he got damn lucky. That is an elemental scar. What you did flooded your body with enough magic that it was trying to convert you to an elemental, basically turning you into a monster of pure magic. Would have happened if Cleo hadn't pulled the overabundance of magic off of you. Her curse saved your life,"
Lily answered as she took the sucker out of her mouth. Ash froze and stared at her. He knew about elementals from the various fantasy games he had played. Some stuff that had been considered fantasy on Earth was reality on Voss, which led credence to the thin veil theory that a lot of ideas and notions subconsciously slipped between the two dimensions before they started to merge. He had also seen the reality of them once they started merging from the rifts. They were small, packaged, natural disasters and could ruin a city if not countered quickly. A wind elemental had appeared in Detroit 2 years ago and wiped out 3 city blocks before it was taken care of. Lily smiled and gave him a head pat to bring him out of his thoughts.
"Don't worry. You're no longer at risk of becoming one. In fact, it made you stronger. The scar is the part of your body that started to turn into an elemental. It's packed with magic. Think of it as a natural rune carved in your body that will make your spells stronger and faster, at the cost of glowing when you use them. Probably will also increase your physical strength as well,"
Lily reassured him. Ash cut off the pull on his magic, ending the arcs of lightning dancing around his fingers. He liked the idea of being stronger. He had wanted to become stronger to protect himself and those he cared for in the lawlessness of Devos. The place was dangerous and cruel, as District 71 had shown him, and there would be other threats to him and those he cared for. He resolved to start getting used to his new strength as soon as he could.
"Well, you have recovered nicely, mostly just bruises and sore muscles. You'll be fully healed in a few days, just take it easy. With that being said..."
Lily slapped him across the face. The blow surprised Ash more than it had hurt.
"Don't ever do anything that reckless again! You could have died!"
Lily pouted. Ash swore he could see tears in her eyes and was about to say something when Phelan delivered her own slap, directing his attention to her.
"I am very grateful to have my sister back, as I told you. But I have just gotten you. I don't want to lose you, Ash. No suicide missions or gambles. I need you in my life."
Phelan was giving him a glare that said she was willing to fight him if he tried to argue. Still, there was a redness in her eyes from where the tears had been, before she had quickly wiped them away.
Phelan.
Ash smiled at his lover as he rubbed his cheek. Naomi looked at Lily, then Phelan, before she turned and gave Ash a gentle slap across the face. She just smiled at him and said nothing.
Does this mean he's healthy enough to see everything?
Naomi asked Lily.
Yes. I know what you want to do, since you have not shut up about it. Head over there and we'll bring Ash by once he's dressed.
Lily replied. Naomi nodded her head happily and darted out of the shop. Lily and Phelan shared a look after she was gone. Phelan sighed and nodded her head.
Right, so now to talk about another matter, which has just left the building. Ash, I'm sure you noticed Naomi has an interest in you. The tail trying to jerk you off through your pants should have been a big clue. Naomi's clan was isolationist. They had shunned everything, including other paranormals, when they arrived in this world, so she's pretty clueless about anything that isn't ice salamander culture, which, according to what I've learned...
Lily stopped her explanation and looked at Phelan, who was currently rubbing her temples, as if the entire subject matter was giving her a massive headache. She noticed Lily looking at her and sighed.
The clan is very important to salamanders. Only the males ever leave them, and that's only to join another clan they have no blood relation. Since you saved her life and got revenge on her clan's killers, she's going to swear herself to you. Her culture states her life is yours, and she hopes to create a new clan with you,
Phelan finished. Ash's jaw hung open.
What? We just met. She barely knows my name, and I know nothing about her. Also, I'm in a relationship with you.
Yeah, we thought you'd say that. You're seeing it from your culture. While your culture places a lot on the individual, hers places it all on the clan. If she swears herself to you, and if you reject her, then you are rejecting her life. That's a road you don't want to go down.
Lily responded ominously.
That's horrible. She shouldn't let such a backward culture dictate her life. Also, I'm with Phelan. What does she think my response is going to be?
Ash stated firmly.
Ash, back on Vaas, I wore animal hides and used stone tools, Phelan said. My culture was not much better than hers. The only difference is I've had a lot of exposure to other cultures in the past 5 years, most of which was human. Haven't you noticed there are more female beastkin than males? Harems are common in my culture, like many other cultures from Vaas. A strong male will make a pack of females. Naomi recognizes our relationship, she just doesn't believe it's an issue.
Ash stared at Phelan and rubbed the back of his head with his hand. His brain was telling him this was a mistake, as he knew little about Naomi and he didn't want to hurt Phelan.
So, both of you believe I should accept her swearing herself to me.
Phelan, are you sure you're okay with this?
Ash, I had no delusions about keeping you all to myself when I started pursuing you.
Phelan stated as her eyes darted to Lily before focusing back on Ash.
Monogamy is common among humans, but few paranormals expect to be in such a marriage. This is the Vaas, and you're a catch. There will be more women trying to insert themselves into our lives. I'm just happy I am the first.
Ash opened his mouth to say something, only to be struck in the face by a pile of clothing. Turning, he looked at Lily, who had thrown them. She was now sitting down in a nearby chair, opening a can of soda.
Get changed! We take too much longer and Naomi will start to panic!
Lily leered as she took a sip of her soda.
How about some privacy?
Ash deadpanned.
Nope!
Lily replied. Lily tapped her phone, and music started to play that had some suggestive lyrics. Professional Lily had left the building, and Chaos is the Agenda Lily had taken her place. Phelan gave the Dryad a stern look.
Seriously?
What? It's a second quick medical examination, in case I missed anything on the first one. The music is just to help me relax.
Lily grinned as she took a sip of her drink.
We'll be outside, Ash.
Phelan grabbed Lily by the collar of her shirt and hauled her out of the shop. Lily didn't resist, but gave sad puppy dog eyes to Ash as she was dragged away. He just shook his head and smiled at Lily's antics. Ash blinked in disbelief when he left the shop. The street around Lily's shop, which had always been vacant due to the closeness of the Dryad, was now bustling with activity. Many of the lizardkin they had rescued seemed to be settling down, and some even had businesses open, which was amazing considering it had only been 2 days since they were rescued. Lily was standing at a small food stand that looked like it sold kebabs, eagerly taking 5 kebabs of what the lizardkin vendor was selling. Phelan was off to the side and wore a face that told Ash she had tried to convince Lily to wait for him, but the Dryad's demand for food won out. Phelan saw him and made her way over.
Cleo sent a lot of supplies and aid to help the lizardkin settle in once she returned to the council.
Phelan answered his unasked question.
That's generous of her.
His tone said otherwise. He liked Cleo. The two of them had gotten to know each other, and he liked to think their mutually beneficial relationship had led to friendship. That didn't mean he was under any delusions that she would do anything out of the kindness of her heart. She would only do something if it benefited her. Phelan shrugged.
She has a reason. She talked about it with Lily, Naomi, and me while you were out. I'm sure she'll tell you herself. She wanted us to contact her once you woke up. Anything I should be worried about? Just council politics stuff. Nothing to worry about.
Phelan smirked, and the way her tail started to wag behind her told Ash something was up, but he doubted he could get any more information. Phelan was more stubborn than he was. However, that did make him recall a name Phelan had called Cleo the night she revealed herself. He hadn't pressed for more information at the time, as they had greater concerns.
Before, why did you call Cleo the Nightmare Queen?
Phelan's smile dropped, and her tail stopped wagging.
Back on Vaas, Cleo was a warlord who carved out her own queendom. She was known for attacking at night and leaving very macabre displays to those that angered her, which earned her the name the Nightmare Queen. I think she's changed from who she was on Vaas, though. I don't know if it was just exposure to this new world, the betrayal, or you, but she's different from the stories I've heard.
Ash's eyes widened. He figured a name like the Nightmare Queen wouldn't be good, but he had trouble picturing Cleo as a femme fatale version of Vlad the Impaler.
All right, I'll share. Jeez, you can drop the mile-long stare. The vendor was already throwing some more on the grill.
Lily snapped him out of his head as she held a kebab out for him to take, albeit one that had more veggies than meat. She thought his vacant stare was due to her buying out the vendor.
Thanks,
Ash said as he took the kebab from Lily.
It's good to see you up and about, boss,
a male voice greeted. Jack was strolling at a leisurely pace toward them. The lizardkin was looking much better than the last time Ash had seen him. He still bore the scars on his body from his time enslaved by the trolls, but no longer was he in rags and covered in filth. Instead, he was wearing a crisp white dress shirt with a sunflower pinned to it and black slacks. He was also carrying a bouquet of sunflowers.
Boss?
Ash asked. Before Jack could respond, Phelan interrupted.
We're on our way to the shrine to meet Naomi.
Jack's eyes widened at what Phelan said. The lizardkin smiled and ignored Ash's question. Ah, so the young miss is finally going to make her declaration. You're a very fortunate man. I'm on my way there as well to pay my respect to the dead. A shrine for the dead? Ash asked, giving up on his earlier question. Yes, your mate Phelan was wonderful enough to create it with her earth magic, and Miss Lily has placed her plants around it for both aesthetics and protection. We have laid to rest the remains of the troll's victims, some as bones and some as the reagents the trolls crafted from their remains. We will never know all the names of those the trolls harmed, but we hope this will help their spirits rest. Jack answered.
Ash's mind clicked with the gravity of what Naomi was doing. She was planning to swear herself to him in front of the graves of her family.
Any thought of him being able to dissuade or shift the conversation ended there. With resignation, he followed Phelan, Jack, and Lily. The shrine was an obelisk of stone, with ivy growing along it, though none of it blocked the plaque on the front of the shrine. Cherry trees in full bloom surrounded it, despite them being well out of season to be blooming. He would have praised the girls then and there for the work they had done, but he did his best to be silent. Naomi was praying before the shrine.
This is not the end of the Frozen River clan. I will not fail you, Mother. Today, I take the first steps.
He barely heard what Naomi was saying before she noticed their approach. She finished her prayer in silence, before standing and facing him. Her serpent eyes held in them a mixture of hope and fear. The wind tossed her long, wild hair behind her, and for a moment Ash was paralyzed by her beauty. Naomi stood in that moment as a woman who had been through hell itself and came out the other side stronger. She had an aura of determination and purpose. Then she knelt before him.
I, Naomi of the Frozen River clan, before the graves of my clan, swear myself to Ash. Through his power, my life has been saved, and the crimes against the Frozen River clan have been avenged. I swear myself to be his blade in battle. As he has fallen the enemies of my clan and myself, so too shall I slay his. I swear myself to be his friend and offer advice and aid, as he showed kindness to me in a time of distress. I swear myself to be his lover, so that I may continue the Frozen River clan.
Naomi turned bright red while saying that, and Ash could hear Lily snicker off to the side, which was followed by a small yelp of pain, and he knew Phelan had punished the dryad. Naomi paid no mind to anyone but Ash. Her eyes filled with the same hope and fear he had seen earlier locked in on him. This was more than just words and a promise. There was a gravity to what she was saying, as if it was bound to her very soul. He understood why the girls had warned him about this and pushed him to accept. This was all that Naomi had left, her reason to live.
Ash, will you accept me?
Trepidation clung to Naomi's voice. Yes, I will. Ash took her hand and helped her up. Naomi wore a beautiful smile as she gazed at him. He smiled back at her, before wrapping his arms around her in a hug. There was time. The two of them could talk about taking things slow later. Let her expand her knowledge past the culture she grew up in. For now, she needed him, and he planned to be there for her. His eyes met with Phelan. She smiled and gave a nod of approval. Chapter 17. Why is my phone smashed? Ash asked as he held up the broken remains of his cell phone, though the culprit was fairly clear. Naomi was trying to make herself as small as possible and was curled into a ball in her chair. Her tail was wrapped around herself protectively. Lily was laughing so hard that she had fallen out of her seat and was now on the floor. Phelan was just shaking her head at Lily while giving Naomi a reassuring pat on the back. Naomi's face was buried into her knees as she mumbled something.
"I don't think he can hear you,"
Phelan whispered to Naomi.
"I'm sorry, it started screeching and I thought it was dangerous, so..."
Lily sat up, her laughter finally dying down.
Not the smash you were hoping for, was it, Ash?"
Lily managed to say, before breaking out into laughter again. Naomi buried her head back into her knees, and Phelan scowled at Lily. She looked like she might pick a fight with the dryad, despite them being in her shop with all of her plants. Ash let out a laugh, which caused both Naomi and Phelan to look at him in surprise. "Yeah, I can see how if you've never been around a cell phone before, the alarm clock would be startling." He tossed the busted piece of tech into the trash bin before going over to Naomi and giving her a warm smile. "Don't fret about it, Naomi. I needed to upgrade it anyway, and while we do that, we can get you one as well. Phelan and I can teach you how to use it." Naomi smiled at him, while Phelan gave him a small kiss on the cheek as she slipped by him. She had decided what to do about Lily, and returned a moment later with a blanket. She laid it out in front of Lily, then proceeded to roll the laughing dryad up like a burrito, and kept rolling her right into the supply closet. Lily didn't stop laughing the entire time. Phelan then propped a chair against the door with an evil smirk.
"Do you need me to reach out to anyone?"
Phelan offered.
"I was just going to touch bases with Beau. The last I spoke to him was when we were running from the trolls, so he's probably worried."
"Chuckles was supposed to keep him updated, but I found out from Jacqueline that she was just sending emojis of eggplants, hearts, and wolves when he asked how you were doing,"
Phelan said as she gestured to the closet with Lily in it.
"Thankfully, Jacqueline and Beau are spending a lot of time together, so she relayed to him that we are both all right. I didn't tell her everything we went through, just so that we are safe."
"Thanks, Phelan. Knowing Beau, he would start freaking out if left in the dark. He may be a lughead sometimes, but he's a good friend."
Phelan smiled at Ash and lay her hand on his chest. The smile shifted to one more seductive, and her nails raked against his shirt. She took a deep breath in, and Ash knew she was scenting him. She exhaled and patted his chest.
"Let's go get you and Naomi phones, then we can swing by and see Beau."
Phelan leaned in and whispered in his ear.
"Otherwise, I may drag you off somewhere to have you to myself."
"I'll get your sword,"
Naomi stated, shooting out of the chair.
"Sword?"
Ash raised an eyebrow at Phelan. Moments later, Naomi returned with the sword Sarah had wielded. The thing was a long piece of a wyvern jawbone that was sharpened and etched in wind magic runes. Naomi knelt and presented it to Ash.
"I have no idea how to use a sword," he stated as he looked at the 6-foot-long blade.
"I can teach you. I was a sworn sword for my mother, the matriarch of the Frozen River Clan,"
Naomi offered. Ash recalled the few times Beau had tried to teach him the martial use of weapons. It had not gone well. His mind whirled with what to do with the blade. Beau knew weapons, but he had disdain for swords, and Ash would rather not provoke another rant about how axes were superior. Phelan was out, because the blade was longer than she was. Then it dawned on Ash. Naomi knew how to use a blade, and she was tall enough to probably wield the ungainly sword.
"Why don't you wield it for me, Naomi? You can be my sworn sword if you like."
He wasn't sure what being a sworn sword entailed, but the way Naomi's eyes lit up, he figured it was the right call. She held the blade tightly by the hilt and grinned as she looked at it.
"Are you sure? This blade is powerful,"
she asked with hesitation.
"It would be wasted on me, Naomi. It would be put to better use in your hands."
Giddily, Naomi set to work making a quick sheath for the blade out of some old blankets, partly to hide what it was, and partly to have a convenient way to carry it. Once done, they were ready to head out. The girls walked on either side of Ash, Naomi on his left and Phelan on his right. They made some small talk along the way and pointed out various places to Naomi. They also covered what she could do with a phone, which made the ice salamander believe they were picking up a rare and powerful artifact. Like most of Devos, District 114 didn't have any big box or dedicated electronics stores. Most local shops were stocked with supplies they had ordered in bulk online and had shipped across the Devos border. Stores could vary greatly in what they had to offer as a result. Thankfully, Phelan knew a store that carried cell phones at a reasonable price. Unfortunately, when they arrived at the store, a large minotaur was making a scene. Ash wasn't sure what the issue was about, but as they looked at the phones available, things got more heated between the 9-foot-tall minotaur and the 4-foot ratkin woman that was working the register. Her large ears went flat, and she was shaking with anger. The big minotaur just grinned.
I will not be talked to like this in my family shop! You can leave, sir, and don't come back!
The ratkin woman shouted.
Oh? And how are you gonna kick me out? I should just take what I want. Screw your ridiculous prices!
The minotaur sneered. Ash sighed and shook his head. The smart thing to do would have been to leave the shop and go somewhere else, but he knew he seldom did the smart thing.
Hey, things are getting too heated. Why don't you take a step back and cool down some? Think with a clear head.
Ash tried to reason. The minotaur sneered at him and quickly launched a punch towards him. Ash saw it coming and was already pulling on his magic. He never got a chance to use it. The minotaur flew backward through the glass door and slammed into the building next door. Ash turned his head and saw a determined Naomi holding the bone sword. Green runes of wind magic glowed on the blade. Before Ash even thought of something to say, ice started forming on the blade, working its way up from the hilt that Naomi held. She slashed the blade and sent shards of ice towards the minotaur. Phelan had also been watching the events unfold and reacted quickly. She called on her earth magic and pulled a pillar of earth up to shield the minotaur from the ice shards. The way the shards had been able to pierce the surrounding wall spoke of how deadly the attack would have been.
You don't kill the stupid. If you do, then they will not be able to apologize and spread the warnings about such stupid behavior,
Phelan said to Naomi. Her tone was the same as she had used when she was a gang boss. She made another gesture with her hand, and the pillar of earth shifted around the minotaur, encasing him except for his head. His face was stricken with panic, and one of his horns had even been broken off from the wind slash. He started to tremble as Phelan approached him.
You get one chance,
Phelan warned him as she pointed towards Ash.
Apologize.
I'm sorry! I'm sorry! I'm sorry!
The minotaur cried out. Phelan snapped her fingers, and the earth crumpled around the minotaur. She leaned in towards the minotaur, whose teeth were chattering in fright.
If you had so much as ruffled the hair on my man's head, then you would have wished for the ice shards over what hell I would introduce you to,
Phelan said softly, but still loud enough for Ash to hear.
Now, get out of here. And tell everyone you know not to fuck with us, or else.
The minotaur nodded and quickly ran away in such a hurry he almost tripped. Phelan pulled a business card from her pocket and approached the ratkin woman working the counter. Her demeanor shifted to one that was less intimidating, and she even put on a fake smile.
Sorry about the damage. Call this number and they will ensure that everything is repaired,
Phelan said as she handed the card to the ratkin woman. The ratkin woman read the card and visibly paled.
This is the card?
card for the Nightmare Queen? You want me to call her number?
Phelan still wore her fake smile and nodded.
She is a close friend of ours.
They left the shop shortly after with two new cell phones, which the fearful Ratkin woman heavily discounted. He cast Phelan a look when they were far enough away from the shop. Naomi was focused on the box with her phone in it, as if imagining all the things she would be able to do with it.
Cleo thought there might be some growing pains with the changes in the district. She offered to cover any costs that might occur during it.
Phelan answered his unasked question. Growing pains? Ash asked. Phelan shrugged.
It's related to what she wants to tell you. Sorry, I'm not pissing off the banshee by spilling it early. She'll tell you soon.
Phelan looked over at Naomi, who was picking at the corner of the box as she fought the desire to open it up. Phelan smirked at Ash and leaned on him, intertwining her hand with his.
Would you care if we stopped by my place? I can properly introduce you to my sister and we can set up Naomi's phone. I doubt she'll make it much longer before she tears the box open.
Nice. Switch the subject by being cute, Ash said before pulling Phelan in for a kiss. Also, I would love to meet your sister. She probably has a ton of embarrassing stories about you. Phelan chuckled.
If she's smart, she won't bring those up.
Loud music greeted them as they neared Phelan's home. Luna was jamming out, apparently. A table with two beastkin playing cards was set up nearby. One was a female mink with a long, white, fluffy tail that matched her short hair and small, round ears. She twirled a knife in her hand mindlessly, but set it down when she saw them approach. Her card partner was a hulking bear covered in scars, with one of his round ears torn jagged. He took one last look at his cards before setting them down. Ash caught the barest smirk on his lips as he looked at the mink when he did. It seemed they had shown up when he had a good hand.
Morning, boss,
the mink said with a nod to Phelan. The bear did the same.
Celeste, Reuben, everything going good here?
Phelan nodded back.
Cards have been shit, but no trouble shown up. Luna's just been trying to destroy her eardrums all morning,
Celeste stated as she picked the knife back up and began cleaning under her nails.
She's probably sitting on her ass playing video games. Explains why she's ignoring my texts.
Phelan shook her head as she made her way to the door of her home. The two beastkins went back to their cards.
Getting your gang back together?
Ash asked from behind her. Phelan's ears twitched and she scratched her cheek.
Ray used the trolls to get rid of anyone loyal to me in the gang. When we busted the place up, a few of my old gang members were there. Some were those who had been loyal to Ray and caught by the trolls after I killed her, but I'm not allowing them back in the gang. Those that I know are loyal, I'm taking and rebuilding the 114 pack. I promise I'm not going to let anyone manipulate me again like Ray did.
Like my scales,
Naomi chimed in cheerily. Ash turned and blinked at the blue-haired salamander who was beaming a smile at him. His mind was trying to dissect her statement, since he saw no way it had correlated with what he and Phelan were talking about.
I don't think Ash knows about them yet, Naomi.
Okay, who are the scales? Ash looked between the two girls.
My gang,
Naomi smiled.
The frozen scales. As you saw just a bit ago, Naomi is a capable fighter. While you were out, the more combat-capable lizardkins formed the gang and placed her as their leader. Jack is her second in command,
Phelan explained. Ash looked between the two of them with narrow eyes.
This isn't going to cause problems, right?
Like gang wars?
Phelan and Naomi both laughed and shook their heads.
I wouldn't worry about that,
Phelan said, before turning her attention to the door of her home. Phelan unlocked the door before swinging it open. Ash made it 2 steps past the threshold before Phelan rushed back to him and covered his eyes with her hands.
"Damn it, Luna!"
Phelan tried to shout over the music.